Welcome, Abundant Life Center. We have a wonderful guest with us today, a dear and old friend. Not as old for me as a friend as he is for Pastor Bill. But anyway, dear friend, loves the church, loves Jesus Christ. I didn't even ask him what his message was. I know maybe he'll touch on healing. We've had a seminar on healing for the last couple of weeks. Very awesome. You know, the revealing the purpose of God, the intentions of God, the heart of God. He sent his word and healed them. So we're just going to get Brother Dave to come up here. He'll pray, open the service, get right started. Thank you, Brother Dave, for coming, enduring the cold.
Amen. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Amen. Feels like a heat wave out there, doesn't it? Praise God. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. And I talked to Brother Hawk, see what he's been sharing. He says he's been talking about being led of the Spirit in the Sunday school class, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to add my two cents here this morning. And then the next session in the regular service, we're going to talk about healing, some things that God's will in that area. Amen? How many got your Bibles? You all set? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can, you said everything that has breath should praise you. We praise you today in this house. We thank you, Lord, you'll speak through me and you'll minister to the needs of your people in this house in Jesus' name. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to me with me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we got some good things here to share quickly here. We're supposed to be done by like quarter after, right?
Yes.
All right. This is new to me. I never taught in your Sunday school before. Amen. Very familiar verse here. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. How many believe that he is? I'd say anybody that says they're a Christian believes that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And there are some people who have struggled with that. But I believe God's a rewarder of those who diligently. That word diligence is a steady effort to accomplish. Amen. There's some people that are in this thing for a 50-yard dash, but it's a long haul. It's a marathon, the life of faith. Amen. So we got to be diligently seeking him. And when we do that, rewarder there is a word we get the word paycheck from. He pays. He pays you for serving him. Amen. And so I encourage you today, never give up. Keep serving him. And if you don't get on this side of glory, you'll get on the other side. Amen. Amen. Because he does keep record. Hallelujah. If he keeps record of the hairs on your head, you know that he keeps record of other stuff that we do for him. Hallelujah. But in Psalm 37, let's go there this morning, and I want to give you some things that I believe will help you in hearing God's voice for your life and directions for your steps that you're about to take. We're always stepping. We're always going somewhere. Amen?
That's right.
You got to be moving. Some people camp out. Now, we got to be moving in God. Here in Psalm 37, verse 23, can't even read my own typing. Psalm 37, everybody there? In verses 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So the steps of a good man. How many good men and women do we have here today? Hey, that's us. If you're in Christ, you're a good person. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at some keys out of these verses here that will help us find the will of God for our life so that we can fulfill his plan for us. How many believe he has a plan for every one of us?
Amen.
Amen. I believe, I know that's the case. You know, I want to stand before him someday and hear him say, well done. Not like, well, you never did what I asked you to do. And some people that never find out. They just go to church and think that's serving God. But God has a plan for each one of us. It may not be what we compare ourselves to others to have. You may not be a missionary and travel all the world, but you have a purpose. Amen? maybe on your job somewhere where you're to reach out and with the kingdom of God and spread it in that realm as well. He says again, the steps are ordered. That word ordered is commanded by the Lord, and He delights in His way. God will get involved with you when you're involved with Him. How's that? Amen. When you're doing the will, He delights in you doing His will. In verse, back up in the same chapter, verse 3, that's where I got the word 3 at. It ties in with this as well, because he started this chapter off. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall what? Bring it to pass. But that verse 4 is a key verse for us in serving the Lord, and that's delighting ourselves in Him. And then God will, He will place His desires in your heart. I remember Dr. Ken Stewart. How many know that name? He was the dean of Rhema years ago, and he did a whole message just on this verse, and it stuck with me all throughout my life. If I delight myself in Him, and that word delight there means to take pleasure in, to value. I value the kingdom of God. I don't know about you. When it says seek ye first the kingdom, I take that literally. There's some people, they struggle through life. I want to say, what don't you understand about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because that's the way God operates. You seek Him. Again, like we read there in Hebrews 11, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So there's no excuse for you not being rewarded in life. Amen. And so we need to encourage one another to keep trusting the Lord. But he says here, trust in the Lord. And again, how do we trust? We have trust because we have faith in Him. And faith comes how? By what? Hearing by the Word of God. And in fact, in Scripture, God has declared Himself as the faithful God. Aren't you glad He's faithful? In fact, it says He's faithful even when we're not. How many have been not faithful at times? We're all in that category. But He's still faithful. And so we're to put our trust in Him. And you don't trust somebody unless you get to know them. And how do I get to know God? But through His Word. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. We've been born again. He's placed His Holy Spirit in us to guide us and lead us and direct us. And we can come to know Him through the Word and through the Spirit. And I feel bad for churches that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They limit themselves to knowing God. I mean, you can go to heaven without being filled with the Spirit. I believe that. Amen. But being filled with the Spirit gives you that extra edge through life where you can tap into the things of the kingdom and the spiritual things and know Him intimately as well. Amen. Yes, amen. So we're to trust or have faith in Him. And then he says, dwell. And they shall dwell in the land. Again, dwell means to abide. How many realize we need to abide in the Word? How many ever read John 15:7? If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. See, that's the key. Many people don't have the Word abiding in them. They visit the Word. They don't dwell in it. When there's a tragedy or a struggle, they're interested in what God says. But we need to daily feed ourselves in the Word of God. Dwell in the Word. Dwell in the land. Amen. And you'll be fed. God promises to feed you when you start meditating. In fact, Proverbs 4. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. This is a good section of Scripture too about being led of the Spirit. Proverbs chapter 4. My son, my daughters, amen. Attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all the flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So again, we are to give attention. That word attention means to prick up one's ears. My son's been living with us here recently, and he has a little dog, little chihuahua. And when the dog hears something, his ears go up, looks around. He hears things that I don't hear. But, you know, we need to attend ourselves to hearing things that most people aren't hearing, hearing the voice of God, hearing the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. Give attention. In fact, the word, if you that word attention there, if you study it in the Hebrew, it's a word they use to mean that, to research, to consider. In fact, the Hebrew mindset of worship was studying scriptures. You go to the Holy Lands, they at the Wailing Wall, they have all these guys, and they're still writing scriptures down. And if you ever get the opportunity to do that, they consider that part of their worship is studying or meditating on the Word of God. And it's important, again, we're to give attention to it. In fact, he says, incline your ears to my sayings. And that means to stretch out or spread out, again, not casually hearing, but specifically hearing. I think we have a hearing problem. Amen. Most people, they say that we listen for about 7 seconds when someone's talking to us. And we're already thinking about how we're going to respond or what we want to say back. They say if someone doesn't blink within 10 seconds, they're already listening to you. So I don't know. But we have a listening problem in America, let alone listening to the Spirit of God. You got to pay attention. I just did a little teaching at our church there about finding a secret place where you can set yourself apart from the world and hear God, and meditate and study, and amen, pray and worship. We need that in our lives. Amen. That's inclining our ears to his sayings. And he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. And again, that's again focusing your eyes of your spirit man on what God has said. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Again, that means put a hedge about or guard or protect what you hear. In fact, the word keep there in verse 23, it was a word they used to a place where the king was hidden when under attack in the castle. You want to keep the word, protect that word, because there's a lot of things trying to rob the word out of your life. Amen. Cares of this life entering in, deceitfulness of riches. Mark chapter 4 gives a list of things that will try to steal the word when you hear it. You got to keep it. You got to say, I'm not going to lose this. This is important. Amen. So again, we got to trust, we got to dwell, and we got to feed. Amen. We got to feed. We'll be fed, he says, or we got to feed on the word continuously. And we know that 1 Peter 2 says, what? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. See, we don't grow by tests and trials. We grow by what we hear and the word that we hear. Amen. God may speak to you in the midst of your test and trial and get you back on his word, but that his best way, I like to get in the word when I'm feeling good, not when I've got symptoms in my body. Amen. Hebrews 5, go there with me, a verse about being fed here. We want to grow up, amen. We want to become strong in him and become warriors for God and fulfill his plan for our lives. Here we're in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start here in verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's a place we can grow to where we're not struggling with the flesh as much as we were when we were first born again. Amen? We're eating the meat. I don't know about you, but I like meat. I'm not a vegetarian. If you're a vegetarian, knock yourself out. I like meat. I always question some people, It's not a scriptural thing not to eat meat. You understand? In fact, Timothy says in the last days there'd be false doctrine where they would say forbidding to eat meat. So, be careful. Amen. How did I get off on that? I hope there's no vegetarians here. You won't like me after this. No, if you think it's healthier for you, you go ahead and knock yourself out. But meat is good for you. In the natural realm, it's good for you in the spirit. Spiritual meat is good for you. It makes you stronger. Amen. That's what it says here. You have your senses exercise. Boy, that's a good place to be when your body's agreeing with your spirit man and your soul. And it's not struggling and you're doing the will of God. In fact, again, we're to trust, dwell, feed. And then he said, delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that word desires there is the subject of the sentence. I don't know about you. How many of you are in English class where you had the verbs and adverbs and nouns and all that stuff? Well, the word desires there is the subject of the sentence. He'll give you the desires. In other words, he'll give you desires to do certain things, to go certain places, to marry a certain person. Or we could take this wherever you need to go, amen? But the question is, are you delighting yourself in the Lord? And I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. You know, you can put on a good show for me, but God knows if you're delighting in him or you're just seeking him to get something. And that's not wrong to expect something from God, because he said he will reward you. But we want to seek his face, not so much his hands. Amen. David said, "Thy face, Lord, I will seek." Amen. A lot of people are after what's in his hands. And there's good things in his hands. There's prosperity and there's health. And Proverbs says in wisdom's hands, you know. So it's there for us. But we want to seek his face. Get to know him. Amen. In fact, like I said, I can't judge whether you're delighting yourself in the Lord. You may appear to be, but you know if you're what is the purpose of your heart. Then he says, commit, and that word means to dedicate. In other words, you gotta make some decisions. Amen. When you find out that desire for God's will in your life, it's gonna take a decision to follow that for your life. Because the enemy doesn't want you fulfilling that. Amen? Some people think when you're in the will of God, everything's just peaceful and smooth. No, ask the Apostle Paul. Ask anybody who served the Lord and found the will of God for their life. The devil is trying to distract you, get you off course, get you to quit. That's his main things for all the tests and trials, is get you to quit. Throw in the towel. But we can't do that, amen? You got to commit. You know, Kenneth Copeland always talking about that decision that you just refuse to turn back from. You won't move. You're just unstoppable. You're unmovable. You decided, bless God, I'm going to fulfill this no matter what happens. And if you ever had God call you to start a church, you better have made a decision. Or you won't last too long, because not everybody goes things as you expect sometimes. I remember when we first started church years ago, I was so excited. I thought everybody and their grandma would be there. And we were having a Bible study, and I was packing out my little trailer. We had like 12, 14 people in a little trailer we lived in at that time. And I felt the Lord saying, I want you to pastor these people. He put a desire in my heart to pastor. And I knew it had to be a desire from him, because I didn't want to be a pastor. I was raised in a pastor's home. And I didn't want that for my life. But when he put that desire in there, it changed my whole perspective. And so I was all excited about our first Sunday where we were going to meet, and one person showed up. It was Labor Day weekend. I'll give him that. Actually, that young man is a minister today, became a pastor out in Texas. So that was good fruit that day from that. Amen. But, you know, just because you're doing the will of God doesn't mean it's all going to look perfect. You're going to have success at first, because the devil will try to stop what you're doing. That's why it takes a decision. Amen? We're not going to turn back. Bless God, comes hell or high water, we're going to make our stand. And after having done all, we're going to stand, therefore. Didn't that sound like Ephesians chapter 6? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. So now you've done all these things. You trusted, you committed, and the things we just gave you, that list there. Now go to Mark 11, 24. Mark 11. Mark 11. I didn't write this. Kenneth Hagin didn't write it. We know it's talking about speaking to your mountain. How many ever spoke to a mountain? Amen. So a lot of people's prayers are telling God about how big the mountain is. But, you know, we're to speak to the mountain, not about the mountain. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, there's that word desire again, when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. So again, you got a desire from God. Now you can take the desire back to Him in your prayer life and present to Him, Lord, you called me to do this. You said to do this. You put this desire in my heart to whatever. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to the grace and the help, whatever I'm going to need to fulfill this for my life so I can give you glory. And He'll honor that because that desire came from Him. Now you can ask according to His will. You ever hear that verse in 1 John 5? If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us and we have the things that we ask for. And a lot of people, you know, you can ask amiss or miss outside the will of God. A lot of people ask God for stuff, you know, they're asking God to for a brand new house. And God says, I want to take you to Africa in a few months. If you have a new house, you probably won't want to go. So if you had gotten a desire to go to Africa first, it may change your whole attitude about a house. Amen. And you may get the house later on because He does reward you. But this is how this kingdom works. We need to understand these principles. Amen. Whatsoever you desire, because your desire came from Him, now you can take the desire back to Him in prayer. And He will hear your prayer. And He'll begin, He has a committee in heaven that just works things out. Amen? It's amazing how God will just plan things out and you just step into it and say, wow, how'd that happen? But the steps of a good man, again, are ordered by the Lord. When you're fulfilling His desires He placed in your heart, things will work out together for your good. Does that sound like a verse in the New Testament? Yes. And we know that all things work together for good, that those who are called according to His purpose, not your purpose, but His purpose, His desires, and then He begins to work things together in your life. Not all things work out together for your good, but if you're in His purpose and plan, it will eventually come out, you win. Amen. Yes. I can testify of that. Hallelujah. In fact, again, you've trusted, you've dwelled, you've fed, you've delighted, you've committed. Now what? Well, Jeremiah 29, go there with me. Jeremiah 29, another familiar verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. See, there's a fulfillment of God's promises for your life, an expected end. And you need to expect it too. Hallelujah. Amen. So again, He gives you a future and a hope. I still think back to the day I know where I was when I was delighting myself in the Lord. I was in construction. I had my own business. I had five guys working for me. But I was just knew there was more for my life than that. And I remember spending time praying in the Holy Ghost, fasting and studying, listening to tapes and teachings and so forth. I wanted more of the kingdom of God. And I remember walking back from my mailbox one day and I had opened up the mail and then there was a one-page newsletter that Word of Faith was back in that day. I was reading it as I was going into my apartment. And it said that they were starting a school called Rhema. And as soon as I thought, Rhema, what's that? And I started reading about it. And I knew right away that God had put a desire in my heart to go to school. Now, I hated school. At regular school, I hated school. My 12th grade, when I turned 18 in March, so I had a little more freedom, you know. I remember the principal called me and he said, you know, if you don't start showing up more, he says, you're out. So I decided to get my diploma. I started coming more often. I hated school. I always said I was too smart for school. I don't know. That was my excuse. I'm sure it wasn't, but anyhow. So I was thinking, oh, school. I don't like the whole idea of school, but God had put a desire to go to school. So I knew it had to be from Him. And I went to Raymond. I sat in the front row. I soaked it all up, man. I only missed one day. I worked for the guy, and he asked me, he needed me to help him on a job that one day. But the people would miss class. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? You know, this is the word. This is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I'm still that way. I still love here preaching and teaching. I get fed, man. That pushes my button. I don't know. I don't want to judge other people, but anyhow. So, you know, that desire came from the Lord. I fulfilled it. That was my first step. Now, what's my next step? You know, we graduated from Rhema. Everybody said they were getting a call from God to go to Hawaii. I thought, that'd be nice. That was a big joke. Everybody's going to go to Hawaii. But I felt a desire for me to go back to Pennsylvania. And so we packed up, came back, and started a little Bible study. And from there, the church, and here we are today, have helped start church, several churches. And God's been good. But it's been a step by step. I'm glad he didn't show me the whole picture. I'm glad he just takes you a step at a time, because he might scare you. Amen. I never dreamed I would make 25 trips to Russia and Ukraine and that part of the world. And, you know, that'd be part of my desire to do that. That's been stirring again to get back over there. So they got to get this war settled so I can get back over there. Anyhow. But again, it's important that we get his desire. You get in this picture. Then you can, he'll give you that hope and that future. Yes. And then after I got back from Rhema, he gave me a desire to further my studies and wind up finally where I got my doctorate degree. That was a lot of studying, yes. A lot of writing, a lot of reading. I remember when I got done, I didn't read a few books for a few years. I was tired of studying. But anyhow, God will give you his desires. Amen. The steps of the Lord are ordered by the Lord. Now let's go back to Psalm 37 again. I'm watching my time. We're doing good here. Psalm 37 and verse 23 again. Again, the steps of a good man. You know, that means you're not running. You don't run. We walk by faith. It's some people try to run, get ahead of God. It's a step by step. Shak bashagom, I think it's in Russian. Shak bashagom. I can hardly say it anymore. I need to practice my Russian. Shak bashagom. Step by step. It's not a leap. You know, it's a process. You're growing, and God's working in your life and weeding out stuff. And amen, that's part of growing. And we don't get in sixth grade, you go to first grade, second grade, third, fourth. It is a process in being led of the Spirit. I want to encourage you of that as well. Again, our commanded by the Lord, he delighted in his way. Verse 24 is interesting. He says, though he fall. How many of you missed the will of God? It's not fun. Nobody's putting their hands up. It's all right. I don't need to know. You know if you missed it or not. But though he fall, he shall not what? Be utterly cast down. People may try to keep you down, but people can't keep down when God has called you a good man. Amen. For the what? The Lord upholds him with his hand. So again, he delights in your steps being fulfilled in your life. That word delights, again, means prizes above other things, values. It, again, we're talking about the reward of obedience here. How many believe that God rewards you for obedience? I had three children, and I always rewarded them for obeying. When they disobeyed, it was a different story. Amen. And I do believe in spanking. I think we need to get back to it again. Spare the rod, raise a clod is how I look at it. This timeout stuff now they do nowadays, I don't know. It's not biblical. Amen. I got real quiet in this place now. But anyhow, he will take pleasure in your steps. He delights, again, in your way. And when God's delighted in what you're doing for him, His blessings just overtake you. You know he's able to do above what you can ask or think. Barbara and I talk about this all the time. Just stuff we're thinking about shows up. We don't even pray for whatever. It's there. He knows what we're thinking about, what we want. It just overtakes us. You ever read that in the book of Deuteronomy, how all these blessings will overtake you? They just overtake you when you're delighting yourself in him and he's delighting in your way. It's a great way to live. Supernaturally, things happen. Amen? Divine protection on the highways, it's good stuff.
Yes.
It's there for us, but you have to make that decision. Amen? Though he fall. How about Proverbs 24? Here's a verse here quickly. Proverbs 24. I like the book of Proverbs. I started out memorizing it years ago. And never got. I got about 5 chapters and I quit. I should go back and pick up on it. But it says here in verse 16, for a just man falls how many times? 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Verse 17, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. Boy, that verse got me one night. I had an enemy in the church. I mean, they were causing division. It was a mess. And I was thinking, boy, oh God. And something bad happened to the family. And I thought, that's it, God, get them. And I was sort of rejoicing about it. And the Holy Spirit said, took me to this verse. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. And I looked it up, man. I said, forgive me, Lord. I'm not rejoicing when my enemy falleth. God takes vengeance. Amen. Don't be glad when your enemy is being punished for coming against you. He'll take care of your enemies. We don't preach much about that, do we? But it's there for us. He counts it a righteous thing to vindicate his own, Thessalonians says. Amen. We're moving right along here. Though if I fall 7 times, he's going to help me up. Now, if you fell, let me tell you, here's some good advice. Go back to the last step. Go back to that last step and pick up from there. Amen?
Yes.
Because God's waiting for you to finish that step and complete it before he's going to give you another. About obedience here and learning from your mistakes. Well, it's important you learn from your mistakes. You know, if you don't learn, then you are a fool, according to the Bible. Amen. People want God to give them another step, so they never fulfilled the first steps he gave them. And again, some of those beginning steps are not as glorious as the ones that you'll see later in life, as there's more fruit from what you're doing. Amen. Now let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter here. We'll sort of wind up with this verse here. Romans, the 8th chapter. I quoted it a while ago, started to. Again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And some people stop reading there. Because most people love God. But it says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's the key again. What is his purpose for your life? I think it was Miles Monroe. How many remember that name? He had several booklets out years ago about purpose. Very good stuff about the plan and purpose of God for your lives. And again, most people don't know what that is. If I'd ask them, what's God's plan for your life? I don't know. You should have some kind of direction. Amen? If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to go right anywhere right. Amen. And like I said, it may not be something huge because everything's important in the kingdom. Amen. Even in my body, you know, I have little toenails. They're not that important, but if one's missing, I know it. Amen. It has a purpose. They say our toes are good for balance. Amen. Everything's necessary. Well, this, in the kingdom of God, in a body, a local body, every part is important. And we need to find out what is our purpose here. Amen.
That's
It's all kind of ministries. You can read the list there in Romans. It talks about ministry of helps and giving and all the kind of things that we can do. And you need to find that out. And again, the devil will try to stop you. He's out to stop what God has called you to do. But you don't quit. If you got to keep going back over to those basic things, trust, dwell, feed, delight, do those things and see God's purposes fulfilled in your life. Amen? Okay. Is there anybody have any questions or what I shared here this morning? Or you want to add to it? Don't take away. Anybody? Yeah. Has it helped you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just remind. I know you know some of the stuff already, but it's always good to be reminded. Yeah. And the people say to me, "Well, look, I'm this age, or you're never too old." You know, Smith Wigglesworth was what, near 80, I believe, when he finally committed his way to the Lord and began to minister, became an evangelist pastor. Yes, brother. Yeah.
In a matter of taking that.
Okay.
There's no.
It says the Holy Spirit come, He would show you things to come.
Yes.
All right. And I believe He'll do that if you'll listen to it. And why is it that He want to show us things so we can pray against certain things? Use our faith to move some mountains that the devil's trying to keep us from going to Russia or whatever, you know. And, that's why we fight the good fight of faith. We got to become offensive at times, not always defensive. We got to storm the gates at times. Amen. And say, hey, God called me to do this. I'm going to do it. And, whether it's a financial thing that's holding you back, then you got to just trust God for the finances. And again, if you're in His plan and purpose, the money will come. That's another amazing thing, how the money just shows up. I said, how about the importance of forgiveness? And, you know, in Mark 11, 23 and 24, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. So you can't have strife. Strife will stop the will of God for your life. In fact, it turns on Satan himself. It turns on the forces of evil against you. You become a captive to Him when you're in strife. So stay out of strife. Walk in love. Be quick to forgive.
Yes.
Be quick to repent too. Quick to repent. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Turn around and go the other direction. Amen. Good reminder. Anybody else? All right. I could give you a test. No. You'll be tested on what you hear anyhow. Yes, brother.
I guess I want to exhort people not to just hear what you said, but you said something about, as you were sharing, about you don't wait until things have gone bad before you start doing what the Word of God said. And it just came to my mind, a phrase that we use in the manufacturing world. They don't wait for things to break down and try to fix it because the catastrophes already happened. Why not practice preventative maintenance?
Yeah.
And apply all of it for today before it gets bad.
I gave the illustration when you're learning karate, you have a fake enemy. That's what your katas are about. You're pretending there's someone, and that's like practicing the word. By His stripes, I'm healed. You know, quoting with the word of God, taking that sword of the Spirit, becoming skillful in the word of righteousness. And again, it's good to do that when you're healthy, when you're on top of things. It's tough when you don't feel like doing it. You still do it anyhow, but you do it. It's easier when you're. Good point. All righty. How about if we pray? Lord, I thank you for the word we sowed here this morning. We thank you that your will be fulfilled in each and every one of these lives represented here today. We thank you that you're patient with us. And though we do fall, you lift us up. Your hand's always there. And we thank you for that righteousness that we have by faith. We give you praise for that now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right.